The offshore drilling ban, will it stand?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Bill Radke. A court is considering whether to roll back President Obama's six-month moratorium on deepwater oil exploration in the Gulf of Mexico. Well drillers and other oil companies have asked a Louisiana court to overturn the ban, which was put in place after the Deepwater Horizon disaster. Joining us live now with more is Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman. Hi, Mitchell.
Good morning, Bill.
What are these companies asking for from the court?
Well, they say the ban is arbitrary and capricious. They want the court to introduce a temporary injunction. Basically, that would let exploratory drilling resume while the court hears their challenge, and the court could rule today. These are companies that are very directly affected. They're oil services companies. They provide the offshore rigs, which are really like little villages with equipment and food and fuel, and they shuttle those supplies back and forth.
And how are small local businesses there feeling about the moratorium on drilling?
Well, you know, it's becoming less and less popular with businesses, with the state government and politicians, even some fishermen, actually, since a lot of them also work the rigs. These oil services companies employ thousands of people, and they're worried that even another few weeks of the ban will put them out of business. Already 8 deepwater rigs have pulled out, 25 are left, and they're looking for somewhere else to drill. They could go to Europe, the North Sea, or anywhere, really, that there might be new oil finds. BP has pledged $100 million to help workers whose incomes dried up because of the moratorium. But the industry says actually it costs 3 times that in lost wages every month the ban is in effect.
Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman. Mitchell, thank you.
You're welcome.
One of the less serious casualties of the oil spill may be the affordable oyster po' boy. This is the famous New Orleans sandwich, fried oysters on Louisiana French bread with lettuce, tomatoes, and mayonnaise, and hot sauce. From the Marketplace Sustainability Desk, Adrian Hill tells us the spill has depleted the oyster supply, and the po' boy is becoming a luxury item.
43. Lovey Baratini is standing in a long line at Zimmer's, a neighborhood seafood place in New Orleans. She loves oysters, loves po' boys, and has been paying up since the oil spill.
I went as high as $15 the other day.
Would you go higher? Fries.
No, that's it. That's it. That's enough.
She expects the sandwich will soon be out of her price range.
It's bad, you know. I mean, what are we going to do, you know?
Eat them while you can, I guess.
That's right. That's what I'm doing. I had oysters the other day.
There are lots of stories about the history of the po' boy sandwich. But according to the city's Po' Boy Preservation Festival, the food got its start during a transit worker strike in 1929. A local restaurant offered to feed striking workers, and the poor boy, or po' boy sandwich, was born. But now, the oyster version is moving on up.
No longer a po' boy. That's true. It's a rich boy now.
That's Charlene Zimmer. She owns Zimmer Seafood. The price of the fresh oysters she uses for her sandwiches jumped from $37 to $54 a gallon. She's hiked her po' boy price from $8.95 to $10.95 and says another increase is on the way.
People are not happy at all about that.
Do you think they'll still eat them?
Yeah, I think so. But I notice people are buying less oyster po' boys and more shrimp and roast beef and ham and cheese, you know, that kind of stuff now.
At Charlie's Seafood, another neighborhood restaurant, owner Frank Brightson pulled the oyster po' boy off his menu. For a while, he'd sell one if a customer asked, for about $18, but not anymore.
I just couldn't justify the high prices on our menu in a restaurant that is supposed to be inexpensive and casual.
Not all oyster po' boys in New Orleans have gotten too big for their name. Some of them are made from oysters harvested and frozen before the oil spill. I'm Adrian Hill for Marketplace.
One more note on the oil spill. According to the Securities and Exchange Commission, Goldman Sachs sold more than half its BP stock in the 3 months before that rig exploded. BP was selling for about $60 a share in New York before the disaster. Now it's about $30. Stocks are down in both Asia and Europe. The ratings agency Fitch downgraded its debt rating on the Eurozone's biggest bank, BNP Paribas. Yesterday, the Dow Industrials gave up 8 little points, landed at 10,442.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by LendingTree.com. tools and personalized advice to help control your financial destiny are at the allnewlendingtree.com.
The Obama administration will unveil an ambitious national plan today to end homelessness. The administration has borrowed ideas from successful local programs and stitched them together into a national approach, as Marketplace's Nancy Marshall Genzer reports.
Every night, more than 600,000 Americans sleep on the streets. It's a costly problem with ripple effects on the budgets of police departments, social service agencies, and hospitals. Bon Koo is an emergency room doctor at Thomas Jefferson University Hospital in Philadelphia. He says the hospital spends millions every year on homeless patients who wind up in the emergency room.
We saw 67 homeless persons accrue $4.8 million in one calendar year.
Some cities have taken an innovative approach called rapid rehousing. It's an effort to keep families from becoming homeless. Some just need the first month's rent and security deposits so they can move into a new apartment. Barbara Poppy worked as a homeless advocate for more than two decades in Columbus. Now she heads up the U.S. Interagency Council on Homelessness, which came up with the national plan. Poppy says Columbus tried the rapid rehousing approach after realizing how much it was spending on shelters.
We had families staying in our emergency shelter system at a cost that exceeded a luxury hotel on a daily basis.
Poppy says the national plan also calls for more public housing and establishes a website covering all federal services for the homeless. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall Genzer for Marketplace.
And finally, when you want to know about movies, IMDb is a go-to website. It stands for Internet Movie Database, and it's full of information about the people who worked on your favorite films. Well, according to the entertainment industry news site The Wrap, unions representing writers and actors are pressuring IMDb to remove one piece of information, their ages. The unions say having their personal data public is costing older workers jobs because of Hollywood's bias against the elderly, meaning people over 40. This is the Marketplace Morning Report in Los Angeles. I'm Bill Radke.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college accountant? How does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox, and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.